Welcome to the second part of our three-part series on feedback for EMS providers. In the series, I'm just an ambulance driver. Last month, we spoke with two medical directors who emphasized the importance of providing feedback to EMTs and paramedics on as many calls as possible. They said, the more feedback, the better. Our medical directors identified a lack of time and resources as key barriers to providing feedback on a regular basis. This month, we interviewed two EMS agency directors to learn about how the agency director views providing feedback to EMTs and paramedics. We started our interview by posing a fairly straightforward question. Is providing feedback to EMTs and paramedics important?
I think feedback is an essential component of any high-quality EMS system, period. Feedback is very beneficial to the crews, from all aspects of the EMS. When you get responses from patients, either through surveys or from direct contact, I think it's important that you feed back to the crews, not only on a positive side, which is, 99% of what people will typically hear, but on the less than positive side, where there's an opportunity to improve your overall performance based upon the results of the feedback you're getting.
I believe that feedback is very beneficial for the crews, and that's something that I think everybody, should take part in helping to improve their quality of care.
There is no standard for providing feedback. Methods most likely vary across individuals and are based on personal preference and other factors. We asked our first interviewee to identify some of the various ways to provide feedback to providers.
In today's day and age, it's important that you use multiple methods. Probably the simplest form of feedback is the ones that you can post throughout the organization, where you can put them up in bulletin boards. Obviously, you have to de-identify them. Then, of course, there's different methods of communicating it through email, and you post it on one of your web servers. And then, of course, you have the printed media. That those are the things that, are still pretty easily accomplished. And any opportunity you have to recognize an individual provider or providers who did a good job, you do so.
Agency directors cited some non-clinical benefits to providing feedback.
Recognition is probably one of the key components for any EMS system, and oftentimes it's nothing more than a simple message to the individual saying, job well done. And then, of course, that builds, morale within the organization. It makes people want to work in an organization or volunteer in an organization that recognizes jobs well done and shares those communications versus holding them close and internally where nobody, maybe the boss reads them and never shares them, and that's bad news.
I think one of the biggest impacts is that you would see or that I've seen is the actual retention of staff, making them feel more involved in actually what's going on and knowing that you're interested in, helping them do better as an individual. And then also as an organization, they can see you wanting to do better.
Mr. Director went on to discuss EMS recognition at the community level and as well as at a national level with politicians, stating that positive recognition could spur changes to policies and budgets within the government. Last month, our medical director interviewees identified time, money, and staffing as barriers to providing feedback. Our EMS agency directors described barriers in this way.
Number one, if you have any level of hierarchy in your organization, no matter how big or how small, those that say that they don't have enough time, quite frankly, it's a cop-out. You need to make the time. There's no reason why somebody can't take the time to say, thank you for doing a great job. And if you're not doing that, then you shouldn't be in a management position. Money, again, I would have to say that's probably a cop-out as well. Doesn't take much to write a thank you note. That's inexpensive, even if it's a piece of paper. Everybody has email nowadays. Send them a thank you in an email. Staffing, it amazes me sometimes when you see people that can find all kinds of people to do some things, but yet there's an EMS organization that doesn't have somebody in a position that could walk up and simply shake somebody's hand in front of other people in the organization and say, you did a great job yesterday, got a phone call. Thank you very much for all you do. So I'd say that, from my viewpoint, all three of those are excuses simply because somebody doesn't want to take the initiative to make them happen.
With the limited resources that EMS has to put towards feedback, should EMS provide feedback on every single call? Likewise, should EMS acknowledge the limitations and barriers and simply focus on high acuity calls?
Well, I think that the biggest thing is when people get those alerts, they automatically think they did something wrong. And, you know, most of the time it's not that the case is it may just be a misdocumentation. And it needs to be explained to them as it's a learning process for them and us, as well as, you know, what we can help to, you know, make them better as a provider and what we can help to understand what we need to do in the documentation process as well. I feel that they all should currently do 100% review at this point, and that is to identify any things that may not be apparent in the initial overview.
I think certainly those high acuity calls, those ones that get recognition, I think providing feedback on that is important. Think on a very, you know, minute level. That's why a lot of people get into EMS. But then again, on the, you know, the day-to-day stuff, let's face it, not every call is a crisis or a life saved. Sometimes it's just plain old good customer service where it just shows the compassion. I think that kind of feedback is important as well, because all aspects of customer service are important, not just on the ones that are the very small percentage of life-threatening, life-saving calls.
Finally, what can individual EMS agencies do to improve the quality of feedback being provided? Our first director was asked to provide some closing remarks.
Well, I think probably if I was going to tell anybody to take anything away from this whole interview, it would be take the time to step back and really think about, number one, why you got into it, and figure out how you can care for each other as well as you care for your patients. And if you can learn how to do that well, my guess is a lot of the rest of it will come pretty easily. Because I think too often we're focused on some of the things that are really insignificant, and we should probably spend a little bit more time taking that step back and looking for the opportunity to recognize a job well done.
As we have seen from both medical directors and agency directors, there is a critical need for feedback for EMS providers. Tune in next month as we complete this three-part series with insights from EMS field providers. Until then, tell us what you think at www.msarn.org. Go to our guestbook section and give us some feedback. Until next month, for MSARN, my name is Charlie Warner, and I'm just an ambulance driver. Thank you, and good day.